Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 39-yard line, Bridgewater turns. The handoff to Gibbs. The end around on the flip to Jamison Williams. Williams over the left side of the 45. Got a block at midfield. Williams to the 40. Cuts back right at the 30. And Williams on the run to the 20. Raising the ball in the air at the 10. Williams diving and somersaulting in for a Lions touchdown.
We're back live with more Anthony Heron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thanks to Westwood One for that audio. Not everything went wrong for the Detroit Lions as they faced the Washington Commanders. We know how banged up the Lions had been all throughout the season. Offense certainly made their fair share of plays, also made their fair share of turnovers. Defense struggled mightily to control the Commanders in that game as well. So it meant the Detroit Lions got eliminated from the playoffs far more quickly than anticipated. Ben Johnson hit the market, and with a microwave level of expediency, the Bears were able to finalize the deal, and he is now going to be introduced tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. as the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. I'm Anthony Heron. This is hour number 2 here with you this evening on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. My guy Robert Triano on the ones and twos for me throughout the evening here. Robbie pulling double duty, by the way, so shout out to Robbie for that, just like I was shouting out the Bears for getting Ben Johnson into the fold as the next head coach. Before we get out to the phone line to continue our deep dive into Ben Johnson for the evening here, I do want to urge you, because we're going to get out to opening up the phone lines later on tonight, and also I want to fire up the meatball machine and make sure we have multiple avenues for you guys to give us a sense for your thoughts on the Bears hiring Ben Johnson as their next head coach. So go to the Odyssey app if you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app. You should certainly do that. And as you click on the 670 The Score icon, there's a Listen Live tab on the left, and there's a Send a Voice Message tab on the right. You hold down that voice message tab, and as you do, you get up to 60 seconds to record a message. We'll get a few of those on the show later on tonight, just as a way to allow your voices to be heard for your thoughts on the Bears hiring former Detroit Lions OC Ben Johnson as the new Bears HC. So, looking forward to my next discussion here. A guy I've talked to on SiriusXM a number of times over the years, talking some Big Ten football, who now covers the Detroit Lions for The Athletic. He is a spectacular guest, and I'm really excited to talk to Colton Pouncey, a Lions beat reporter for The Athletic, and he joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. Colton, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys doing out there?
Spectacular. Appreciate you taking the time here to talk about Ben Johnson. Kind of been taking a deep dive into things, just trying to introduce Bears fans to Ben Johnson from those who've been covering him, those who've been around him, those who've been evaluating him. And you also host the Welcome to Detroit podcast for The Athletic as well. And so as you've evaluated things with Ben Johnson in recent years, and there's been more and more steam over the last couple of seasons about Ben Johnson essentially being the hottest next head coaching name, now the Bears got that next head coach. Just overall, what is your reaction to Ben Johnson taking the Bears head coaching job?
Yeah, you know, Ben has been very selective, you know, really since he burst onto the scene that 2022 season. The Lions had Anthony Lynn in 2021 when Dan Campbell first got there. Didn't work out. Second half of that season, they kind of demoted Anthony Lynn and kind of, you know, Dan Campbell worked with Ben Johnson more in the second half to kind of get that offense in the right track. Then that offseason, they made Ben the guy. And that first season, you know, they're top five in scoring, top five in yards, and really got Jared Goff to revive his career when a lot of people didn't think he would be the guy here long term. So a lot of that credit goes to Ben. And really, he started getting job offers, you know, that offseason. And he was very selective and didn't think those were the right fit. Same thing last offseason, very selective. Nothing came to fruition. Said he wanted more time in Detroit to kind of feel the sunshine of a playoff berth and kind of the success there that they had last season. So he was a highly sought after guy, very selective, very thoughtful with the process. When a lot of guys probably would have jumped at the first opportunity, he kind of waited and waited and waited. So for him to land in Chicago, I think it speaks a lot to the situation out there. Having a young quarterback like Caleb Williams, having some pieces on offense and defense, and a team that really feels like it can compete early on in his tenure, I think that was probably really important for him when he's kind of sitting down and evaluating what's out there. So, yeah, the Bears got their guy, and I don't think they could have found a better option in terms of, you know, the candidates available this offseason.
What, to your knowledge, stood out about Ben Johnson where he was able to survive being a holdover from one Lions regime to Dan Campbell taking over?
Yeah, you know, first it starts with familiarity. You know, Dan and Ben were together in Miami when Dan was the interim coach and took over there. So they've known each other for a while now. You know, obviously when Dan came to Detroit, he was kind of figure out, you know, which guys he wanted to keep, which guys he wanted to retain and let go. And, you know, one of his first moves was keeping Ben Johnson, making him tight ends coach, saying, I want that guy on my staff because I know that he's a smart guy. He was young at the time when I knew him in Miami, but I always thought he had a bright future. And, of course, I want to keep that guy around. So, you know, that's how Ben was able to stick around. And really, he just made himself more valuable as time progressed. He had ideas. He was creative. He was always in Dan Campbell's ear. And so, you know, that took him far. And really, that second half of that first season is kind of when he kind of, you know, took hold of the offense and kind of his ideas were being used by Dan Campbell. Campbell was calling plays in the second half of that season, but Johnson was right there working with him and crafting up some of those plays. So, you know, I think that familiarity goes a long way, and that's why they're able to work together for so long.
So as he took over the Lions offense, became the play caller, you know, it's one thing to have some talented players to work with, but how did Ben Johnson begin to shape the Lions offense into what it became?
Yeah, you know, one of the most impressive things about Ben is that, you know, he's one of one. He doesn't really come from a tree. He's not a Shanahan guy. He's not a McVay guy. Everything he did was basically by himself. You know, obviously Dan Campbell had a lot of input with the two-back system and things like that. But, you know, he doesn't come from a tree, so to speak. So I think one of the most impressive things he's done was, you know, work with Jared Goff and say, hey, what did you do well in L.A.? Let's review the tape. Let's go through the playbook. Let's spend an entire offseason just crafting this thing in our own vision. It's not just my vision, but it's both of us. And so I think he can do the same thing with a quarterback like Caleb Williams. He's able to find your best strengths, what you're comfortable doing, and then, you know, pour gasoline on it and turn it into something great. So, yeah, I think it's really testament to kind of how collaborative he is. You know, not really much of an ego. He's able to work with guys and take input from his assistants and players to kind of get that thing moving in the right direction. So I think he'll do the same thing in Chicago.
And as a communicator, you know, he'll be the head coach. He'll have the big whistle. There's going to be a lot of different roles that Ben Johnson will have now that weren't necessarily a consistent part of his job description in Detroit, where he could just kind of stay in the lab at all hours of the night and drop the next most creative play. How well situated do you think Ben Johnson will be to have to address the media on a regular basis, have to address the full scope of the locker room on a regular basis? What type of communicator is he?
Yeah, you know, that's a big question because we haven't really seen a ton of that here in Detroit. Obviously, he would speak every week with us, but in terms of behind the scenes, you know, you would often see other coaches leading team meetings or, you know, speaking in front of the team, and Ben was usually in the background. And I think he was comfortable playing that sort of mad scientist role where he just locked himself in his office until 2 a.m. coming up with plays. But, you know, now you got to, you know, speak in front of the team. You got to get the, you know, aging veteran to kind of get on your side, the defensive tackle. You know, you're not just working with the offense now. So you got to – it's a collective thing when you take a head job like that. So we don't really know. And one thing I'll say about Ben Johnson is – he's a perfectionist, and that works for him, and it works against him sometimes. Like, you see him in practice. He's very demanding. He's very intense. He expects greatness, and I think that's what you want out of a coach. But at the same time, you know, you got to have guys that are able to take that sort of coaching. And so I think that will be key for him in terms of building out a roster and finding guys that are wired the right way and guys that want to be great with him. So as he kind of builds that thing out, I think those are questions to watch because we didn't really get to see a ton of it in Detroit. But, you know, working with Dan Campbell, as long as he has, I think that can only bode well for him. You know, he's seen how Dan's done it. He's seen how Dan can command a room. And even if you're not Dan Campbell, there aren't many guys like that. I think you can find a way to do it in your own image, and you don't have to try to be something you're not. So he's just got to find the right balance for him, I think.
And as a guy who's been coveted for a couple of seasons now, then it does sort of bring to mind the idea that, you know, perhaps he's someone who was born on third base or anything along those lines. But he's not a guy, like you referenced, he doesn't come from one of these renowned coaching trees. He's not the son of an all-time great head coach in the NFL or anything along those lines. So take us a level deeper just on his journey to get to this point. And you reference Dan Campbell, you know, kind of whatever influence Dan Campbell might have on what Ben Johnson becomes, what his sort of demeanor might be as a head man.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one thing I really respect about Ben is he is a kind of a self-made man. You know, when he wasn't retained in Miami when Brian Flores took over and was out of work for a little bit and didn't really know where his next job would be and wasn't getting a lot of calls. And I believe he had a connection with Matt Patricia, and he joined the Lions staff as, a quality control coach, and that came with a $40,000 salary. You know, it's not the most glamorous job out there. And he took it and worked his way back up and rebuilt himself to where he is now. And a lot of that has to do with Dan Campbell and trusting him to kind of lead his offense. But obviously Ben Johnson, you know, took that torch and carried it the way he did. And I think that speaks so much to him. Like, if you think he's just, you know, a guy born on third base, as you mentioned, you know, if people are thinking that, that's not the case. This guy completely rebuilt himself and got to where he is right now, you know, by working hard and doing all the things he's supposed to do. So, it's just a matter of, can you transition that success you've had to the head coach job, to the lead seat? And, you know, we're about to find out.
And the game that he just called the plays and lost against the Washington Commanders. So it's been hailed as kind of this enormous upset, but you obviously covered it very closely, how beat up the Lions were in that game. And credit to the Commanders for being an exceptional team, a 12-win team during the regular season and able to take down the number one seed in the NFC. But that game notwithstanding, overall, we've seen multiple years now of Ben Johnson emerging as one of the most successful offensive minds, play callers in the sport. Bears fans haven't seen a lot of that in recent years here. Just give us a sense, kind of week in and week out, covering the Lions and the anticipation that might be there for Ben Johnson, for the offensive scheme, for what made him so successful in calling the Lions offense.
Yeah, you know, I think it starts with good players, and that'll be the challenge in Chicago. You can't bring Penei Sewell with you, you can't bring Jahmyr Gibbs, but you can certainly find players like that in the draft. So I think working with Ryan Poles over there will be the key to finding some of that offensive success and that talent over there. But at the same time, really when he first got here, this offense looked a lot different. You know, I think it was DeAndre Swift, obviously he has familiarity with him, and I will be coaching him in Detroit, in Chicago, I should say. But he coached him in Detroit a couple years ago. You know, Jamal Williams has not had the same sort of success that he had here in Detroit in New Orleans. You know, he had 17 touchdowns, broke Barry Sanders' all-time rushing touchdown record, has not really found that same success elsewhere. You know, DJ Chark and Josh Reynolds, he was able to get the most out of those guys, and they haven't really panned out elsewhere. So he's really going to take what's at his disposal and get the most out of those guys. So really watching him every week, he would install stuff for specific teams based on what he saw on film. Obviously, that Bears game in Chicago, we all saw the play called Stumble Bum, where Jared Goff pretends to fall and trip and gets back up and throws a touchdown to Sam Laporta leaking out. So the reason he called that play and installed it, they're watching film. I believe it was a Bears-Packers game. The first time they played in 2023, he saw Jordan Love bobble a snap, pick it up, and throw a touchdown to his tight end and said, hey, this can work. We've seen it work accidentally. Let's just make it a play. So he does have some of that mad scientist to him, and I think he'll be able to find ways to kind of install that with the Bears, with the young quarterback like Caleb Williams, and be able to do it each and every week. And he was so consistent with his offense here in Detroit, you know, 28 points, 30 points, 30 points. Like, he's been able to do it for 3 years now at such a high level. I think that gives you confidence that you can do it elsewhere.
One of the things that Ben Johnson mentioned when he addressed the full staff over at Hallis Hall today when he was being introduced to them was that he knows what it takes in this division, what is now the deepest division in football. And the Lions, after winning this division, now there's a number of coaches who may be on the way out of Detroit because of, you know, the success the organization has had in recent years here. How depleted might the coaching staff end up being beyond Ben Johnson?
Yeah, man, that's a big question. That's sort of the cost of success. But when you have a team like the Lions that haven't really had that, all of a sudden they get good. Everyone's figuring out how you did it and try to, you know, poach from your staff. So obviously Ben Johnson now gone. Defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn has been interviewing for jobs. Seems like it's coming down to either the Jets or the Saints, and I think the Jets are probably the favorite there. And aside from the coordinator taking head jobs, there are other assistants on staff that are interviewing elsewhere. You know, their DBs coach, DeSay Townsend, has interviewed for the 49ers defensive coordinator job. Offensive line coach Hank Fraley has interviewed for the Seahawks offensive coordinator job. And he's a guy that I could see potentially going with Ben Johnson if you want someone that can kind of coach up the offensive line that they have in place. Maybe he gets a promotion to OC. Obviously, Ben's still going to call the plays, but that's a way to get a title increase and potentially a raise out of it. A guy like Scotty Montgomery, I could see maybe coming over to be an OC as well, just because he's a great culture guy. And, you know, we talk about Ben Johnson just not knowing how he's going to be as a leader of men, so to speak. Having guys around you can have the same effect. And Scotty Montgomery is a guy that was often trusted to, you know, talk to the team and kind of lead them in certain ways, the running backs coach here in Detroit. So if he wants to poach some guys, you know, I imagine that you can at least get one to kind of follow you to a new place. And yeah, who knows if Aaron Glenn wants to bring in over a defensive coach, so to speak. So yeah, the Lions could be facing some major losses this offseason, and it'll be on Dan Campbell to kind of right that ship.
So the unknown about what a guy becomes as a head coach is apparent. And we've certainly seen at times guys who are viewed as the hot offensive coach get the big whistle. Certainly doesn't always work out, especially in a situation where the Bears were struggling last season in the way that they did. What's your level of confidence that Ben Johnson can get it done in Chicago? Perhaps a better way to frame it is, I know you've been covering the Michigan sports scene both collegiately and professionally for a while now. What level of concern should the Lions have that now the Bears have gotten Ben Johnson?
Yeah, you know, there's certainly maybe a level of concern for the Lions, because he's a guy that if you're the Lions and you just want to hire internally, Dan Campbell said the other day he would like to keep the same terminology in place. Well, guess what? Ben Johnson has that terminology, and he's now in your division. So I think there's probably some fear for that. But in terms of Ben Johnson as a head coach, you know, you don't want to be on the Mark Trestman end of that scale, but you do want to be on the Kyle Shanahan end of, like, the mad scientist that becomes OC and becomes head coach and is now leading over an entire team. So it can be done. We've seen it work. We've seen so many offensive coordinators become the guy and have success, you know, whether it's McVay, Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell. You want to be on that end of the spectrum. And I think, you know, working with Dan Campbell, the biggest thing to me is you can't just be the offensive coordinator as a head coach. You have to be able to address the whole team. And all those guys have figured out how to do it. And I think working with Dan Campbell, as long as he has, gives him a leg up on maybe some of the narrative out there, maybe some of the pushback. So I think Ben's going to go into this job understanding what it needs, what it takes to run a whole team rather than just an offense. So if he has that perspective, and then if they show, you know, success offensively and as a team early on in year one, maybe not winning the division in year one, but if he proves that he has them going in the right direction, that's where the buy-in comes in. If he can't, like, speak it into existence, if you're showing it on the field week in and week out, we are on the right track, then players will buy in automatically. So if you can't get it done that way, that's the other way to do it.
How would you describe the reaction from Lions fans about their talented young OC going to a division rival?
Well, they're not taking it well, I'll say that. Man, there's been a lot of tweets out there that if I were Ben Johnson, I don't know if he's on Twitter. If he is, I would stay off of it for a little bit, at least in Detroit, because they're coming after him. And to an extent, like, I understand it. You know, the Lions have – this is their most successful two-year stretch as a team in terms of regular season wins and whatnot. And so to finally get to this point where, like, oh, we're a Super Bowl contender, and then to lose, like, not only Ben Johnson but a few other coaches, but Ben Johnson in particular – going to a division rival, I imagine why they feel a type of way. So I don't think there will be any, like, wish you well tweets from Lions fans for a little bit. And but to be honest with you, like, I kind of love it. Like, the having that competitive rivalry remain in the division, seeing Ben Johnson twice a year, like, you know, I'm sure Dan Campbell in a certain way, maybe not right now after the loss to the Commanders, but I could see him saying, you know what, bring it on. Like, this is going to be fun. That's kind of how he's wired. And if Ben's wired the same way, like, we might get some really good games out of it. So I'm excited personally, but people in Detroit here are not taking it well.
Well, Colton Pouncey, I know you know how not only the city of Detroit, but the city of Chicago works and consumes sports. So we got to make sure we do this again and be able to talk about where Ben Johnson goes from here with the Bears, man. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is Colton Pouncey of The Athletic and the Welcome to Detroit podcast. You can find him on social media at Colton_Pouncey. More guests on the way here, a familiar voice here on The Score as he covers the Bears for us. And he's going to be prepared to head over to Hallis Hall as Ben Johnson will be introduced as the Bears' next head coach at 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll get the initial reaction from Chris Emma next on The Score.
Some people like Chris Emma.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I get so disappointed in Mark Grody every time I hear that. I really think everyone likes Chris Emma. Could be mistaken, but it's just one man's opinion. I'm Anthony Herron of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. About halfway through my evening with you here, and we are taking a deep dive into Ben Johnson, new Bears head coach. He will be introduced tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. over at Hallis Hall. And I want to make sure that you know we will be opening up the meatball machine a little bit later in the show. So take an opportunity. If you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app, go ahead and do that. Once you get there, hit the 670 The Score tab. And once you get there, you'll see a button on the left. It'll say Listen Live. Just to the right of that Listen Live button is the Send a Voicemail tab. You hold that down. You got up to 60 seconds. Record a little message about your expectations for Ben Johnson, your excitement for the Bears getting the dude everyone wanted to get as their next head coach. One of the individuals who will be headed over to Hallis Hall to evaluate Ben Johnson, get the first blush look as the Bears introduce him as their next head coach, is our guy, Chris Emma, Bears reporter, 4670 The Score, Odyssey, Marquee Sports Network, everywhere there's Chicago sports to be consumed. You can find Chris Emma there. You can also see him on social at CEmma670. What's happening, Emma?
Big Ant, what's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Appreciate you taking the time with me this evening. We knew the possibility was there, and I think it's one thing to know the Bears would be willing to be aggressive in going for Ben Johnson. What do you know at this point, though, about how quickly they were able to make it happen to get the number one commodity on the head coaching market?
Yeah, I'm fascinated to learn more about that timeline because they were ready to pounce. And look, the second that game ended on Saturday night and the Lions bowed out of the playoffs, they seemed to have their plan in action. And, you know, the final step was to satisfy the Rooney Rule. Eddie George was the second in-person interview that they were able to conduct to satisfy and to be compliant with that rule. And at that point, they really moved for Ben Johnson. He was the lone candidate that we know of to have multiple meetings with the team, multiple contacts. They didn't even really have the second interview as far as we know. It was just, let's get our guy. They were set on him all along throughout this process. And look, they interviewed 17 candidates, including Ben Johnson. And throughout the process, it sounds like they gathered a lot of intel, a lot of ways to learn about how they can better themselves as a franchise from really well-respected coaching candidates out there. But ultimately, I think Ben Johnson was always the guy to beat. They made the move swiftly, especially considering that there were other teams ready to make that same move. And they won. They got the guy that they were looking for. They got the top candidate out there in this coaching search market. And I give the Bears a ton of credit. Kevin Warren said back in November that this was going to be the most coveted job out there, and they got the most coveted coach to match.
Now, you've been covering this team for a while, Emma, and you've seen the Bears kind of vacillate back and forth from defensive coach to offensive coach. You've seen at times you've had a grizzled old veteran coach like John Fox. But for the most part, the franchise's history has been new, fresh, first-time head coaches. So Ben Johnson is the latest in that. But Are there things about Ben Johnson's resume that make you believe perhaps he's a bit different than guys we've seen the Bears hire before?
It's not even the resume. The resume is fascinating, obviously, and I like the fact that he's not a product of one coaching tree. He's not the product of a particular scheme. He's a guy who's done it by working with players well and adapting to what he has personnel-wise. That's going to be the case with the Bears. But what I really like, again, about Ben Johnson is what I've heard just from people in Detroit. My fascination with him was, what's he like as a leader? What's he going to be like in front of the room? Because you can get drawn to the offense and, all the fun stuff he did with leading the Lions on that side of the football. Talk with people who've been around Ben Johnson. They say he's a perfectionist at heart. He's the smartest guy in the room type, and he's somebody who's going to be demanding of people. He's going to hold people's feet to the fire in that building and make sure that they're following the right way. He's going to set a standard that's not existed at House Hall for some time now at this point. And that's what really gets me excited, is the fact that he does seem to have the leadership part down based on the conversations I've had with, God, I have so many people at this point who have been around Ben Johnson. They really believe he's the guy who can clean up the mess that he's inheriting inside that locker room. Not to mention what he can, of course, provide for Caleb Williams. The fact that, I think in my mind, and based on everything I've heard, he checks both boxes that were critical of providing for the offense and for the quarterback, while also rearranging things and setting a new tone inside that locker room. And I think he's the guy to do it. I'm really drawn to everything I've heard about him so far. I went into this process in my own right, trying to be skeptical and naturally curious about what makes Ben Johnson the top candidate. And every conversation I had checked the box saying, this is the guy for the Bears.
What, I guess, when we look at what the Bears are as a franchise right now, and certainly the current construct of the Bears roster, there was understandable excitement, perhaps a bit excessive excitement going into last season. But the excitement was understandable because we kind of witnessed the process Ryan Poles had gone through in starting to revitalize the roster. There seemed to be this enhanced talent on the team, and the results fell woefully short of anything any of us expected, even those, who were trying to be fairly discerning, backing folks off of any Super Bowl expectations. How big is the task that Ben Johnson is undertaking here? How big of a reclamation project is this for the 2025 version of the Bears?
I mean, he's got a lot of work to do. He heard it in his meeting when he joined the entire Bears organization, walking in the door at House Hall, and said, I know this is going to be a challenge, but I'm ready for it. Like, he understands that he's been on the other side of this. I mean, this is a guy who was at the top of the division with the Lions and looking down upon the Bears who, like you mentioned, again, they had these huge expectations, and you don't lose 10 in a row by accident. This whole thing came crumbling on them. I think he knows very well that it's going to be a tall task to clean up that locker room. They're going to have some key decisions to make in terms of who should stay and who needs to go. Like, you really have to be honest and look past just the talent evaluation. Look to the makeup of guys who were part of this losing streak and part of enabling this thing to really let this culture become brought in. Like, and that's going to be a key task for Ryan Poles. But you know what? One thing I really like as well about the Ben Johnson hire is that he knows personnel. He's going to have a say alongside Ryan Poles and really guiding him. It's an unfamiliar voice for Ryan Poles, who's ready to challenge him and ready to, confront different decisions that have gone awry for Ryan Poles and correct them to clean things up for this entire organization. And he's going to have that kind of say. I'm not saying he's got personnel power. We're going to kind of learn about how that hierarchy might be adjusted at this point, but he's certainly going to have a strong opinion that challenges the status quo in that front office, and I think that's a really important step as you try to correct things from last season and get this thing back on track.
Yeah, apparently roughly 13 million reasons or so that Ben Johnson will be able to have input on the groceries that the Bears will be shopping for this coming offseason and beyond. Continuing our conversation with Chris Emma, Bears beat reporter for Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And the way that the Bears went about this search and were able to get Ben Johnson, one of the concerns that was there going into this past season was the idea that you'd have another scenario where a lame duck coach, potentially in his final season, would have a rookie quarterback, and then that rookie quarterback would be saddled with a new head coach, and that's precisely how this has now played out. Should there be an enhanced comfort after watching Mitchell Trubisky go through second year in the league, second year with the Bears, new head coach, and then watching Justin Fields go through the same thing, second year in the league, second year with the Bears, and a new head coach? Now Caleb Williams will be in the same scenario, but what makes this more appetizing, more palatable than these other rookie QBs going into year two with a new regime?
I don't even look at it like that. You know, to be honest, Ben Johnson had his pick. He could have had Caleb Williams, or he could have had a clean slate with the Raiders, and you pick your own QB and you do it that way. He chose the Bears, and he chose the Bears because of Caleb Williams. He's been very familiar with Caleb Williams as a prospect, and I know the Lions weren't drafting at the top and anywhere near the chance to get a Caleb Williams, but his old agent is a guy named Richmond Flowers, who runs the quarterback collective under which Caleb Williams developed. Ben Johnson has been very aware of Caleb Williams and the potential that he has. That was a significant draw. And we're going to learn more about kind of what these offers were between the Bears and the Raiders and different, not just the financial side, but the personnel saying everything that went into the pitch in Las Vegas, led by Tom Brady, by the way. But Ben Johnson picked the Bears in such large part because of the promise they have at the quarterback position. So you have this aligned now. It's a different circumstance for the Bears because you have a general manager who drafted the quarterback, and the quarterback looks incredibly bright and promising at this point. And now you've got a head coach who picked this team because of that potential. They're going to be in lockstep. And talking with so many people who've been around Ben Johnson, that the key thing I keep hearing about him is he's going to be great for Caleb Williams because he's going to build this thing for him. This isn't like when Matt Nagy came into the Bears in 2018 and said to Mitch Trubisky, "You're going to fit in my system." We're going to run it the Andy Reid way. We're going to do this the way schematically that we have in Kansas City. Ben Johnson is an adaptable offensive mind who's ready to fit to his personnel. That's something that's really exciting for the Bears and certainly for Caleb Williams, is they're going to be striding this marriage together, so to speak, and what they hope is a long-lasting relationship between head coach and quarterback.
How do you see Ben Johnson in sort of developing his coaching staff and what he should be looking to acquire as a guy who's going to be a head coach for the first time?
Yeah, I love what we heard yesterday, which is the likely or the expected addition of Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator. Every first-time head coach should seek a former head coach on staff, and ideally in a role on the opposite side of the ball. So Ben Johnson, offensive-minded head coach, he's going to be leading that offense. To have somebody with head coaching experience to be your defensive coordinator and to compliment you that way is critical. Dennis Allen's going to be a key cog for Ben Johnson this season as he really learns on the job, because there's so many things you have to learn as a first-time, first-year head coach. I love that hire. And if you want to look at it long-term, if everything goes well, Dennis Allen struck out a couple times as a head coach. He's probably resigned to the idea that he's going to be a career defensive coordinator from here. If this thing really sticks and everything works out well for the Bears, you've got a head coach in Ben Johnson and a defensive coordinator in Dennis Allen that are going to be there for several years to come. That's really exciting for the Bears. I'm curious on the offensive side of the ball. Now, when we talk about the complementary role, filling the blind spots, you're adding Amir with Dennis Allen and potentially with a guy named Hank Fraley who's been out there. The Lions offensive line coach, he's been a candidate for several offensive coordinator jobs, including the Seahawks. It sounds like he had a second interview today for that spot. He may end up in Seattle, but Ben Johnson wants him there. He's a guy who's excellent at developing offensive linemen. He knows the run game very well, and that's something, as we talk about, the complementary role in helping a first-year coach. To have somebody like a Hank Fraley or whomever he chooses as an OC that can help work with him, fill the void that a guy like Ben Johnson is going to have on that job, that's going to be a really important hire to make as well. And I know it's Ben Johnson's offense, but he's going to have somebody in that OC role that he really trusts and is able to help him, if not challenge him, in a lot of ways.
Is there anything about what happened with the Commanders over the weekend that gives you any pause at all about Ben Johnson as an offensive mind?
I mean, I want to see fewer of the wide receiver passes there. I don't think I'm going to see taking it back to the Thanksgiving game in Detroit. I don't think I'm going to see Darnell Wright rolling out for a pass. The trick plays are awesome when they work, and they look disastrous when they don't. That was a horrible decision late in that game, that the Jameson Williams pass. But look, this guy knows what he's doing with this, and probably got away from him a little bit in that game. They also put up 31 points against a pretty darn good defense. So I don't have any reservations. I think this guy checks, like I said, he checks every box I was looking for in this search. And Look, it's an exciting day for a Bears. If you're a Bears fan, it's an exciting day for this franchise. They took a major step. They got the top candidate out there on the market, and you feel really good now. It suddenly changes the vibe at Hallis Hall.
Do you see this, that getting Ben Johnson, what they reportedly have been willing to pay him, how quickly it came together, is this a sign of whether it's Kevin Warren's influence specifically or just the Bears as an organization being perhaps more buttoned up and progress beyond just what's happening between the white lines, but the organization as a whole making progress just in being perhaps a more tightened up, just well-run franchise that could eventually lead to wins on the field?
Absolutely. Yeah, this hire is absolutely an example of that. My column 2 weeks ago, Monday, after that press conference, Tuesday, whenever it was headlined, "The Bears don't deserve the benefit of the doubt in this coaching search." And they proved me wrong. They proved so many other people wrong. Even as of a couple days ago, I thought there was something real about the Raiders, what they could offer with Tom Brady leading the way and the potential to top any salary demand that the Bears could would offer. The idea of adding something like a Lance Newmark as general manager, who I was told would be Ben Johnson's handpicked choice as a GM if he was going to have that personnel control. It felt like the Raiders were setting up for a great pitch. The Bears topped it. They put out a great financial offer. They flew this guy into Wheeling the day of his availability. They wasted no time to make their move for Ben Johnson because he was the top candidate. And they interviewed 17 candidates, and it was a long, drawn-out process that raised a lot of eyebrows, mine included. But the second Ben Johnson was available, they pounced. They made that move. That was their top guy. They were not going to let him go. They were not going to be denied. And it shows the Bears are willing to make a bold, shrewd move to get a guy they really believe in.
I like it. The Bears being bold. That's the one space that we haven't necessarily felt we've seen as much, but it's good to see them occupying that space for the time being. Looking forward to what you're getting out of the folks at Hallis Hall tomorrow, Emma. We know it'll be great.
Take care, buddy.
All right, that is Chris Emma, Bears beat reporter for 670 The Score, Odyssey, and the Marquee Sports Network. He'll be at Hallis Hall tomorrow, taking it all in, as we will as well. Speaking of which, as that's taking place, I'm actually going to be over on Fox 32, both on the television side, the linear side, and also online, reacting to what's coming out of Hallis Hall as Ben Johnson gets introduced as Bears head coach. I'll be on the air with my guy Luke Kanellis. Cassie Carlson will be over at Hallis Hall taking it all in as well. So we'll have a special report on the Bears hiring Ben Johnson and announcing him as the head coach. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to be doing that on Fox 32 and Fox32.com. So myself, Lou, Cassie, we'll kind of bring everything to you that we can as that's all going on over at Hallis. So you can see me there if you like seeing my pretty face and my pearly whites. I'll be there for you tomorrow on Fox 32. When we come back, I've been doing a little bit of digging. There's been some Big Ten football things happening, so I haven't done a deep dive specifically on Ben Johnson myself yet, but some of the other coaching candidates that the Bears have been considering, some things that have stood out to me about how that interview process has gone as I've been talking to some folks around the league just on what the Bears have been doing in the search for the head coach and what eventually led them to landing on Ben Johnson. They really indicate to me how much they've prioritized Johnson with a couple of the really renowned names that the Bears have been considering. And some folks I've talked to have been around the process on each side of it. Got some intel on that I'm going to share with you here. And would love to hear from you specifically as well on the Meatball Machine, on the Odyssey app. And also we're a few minutes away from talking to the voice, the preseason voice of the Detroit Lions, Jason Ross Jr., his observations on what he's been covering with Ben Johnson and this Lions offense in recent seasons. But go ahead, make sure you download the Odyssey app and search 670 The Score and hit the 670 The Score icon there. When you get to the 670 The Score page, there's a couple of buttons. One of them is the Listen Live tab. The other one is the Voice Message tab. You can hold down Send a Voice Message, and as you do, you get up to 60 seconds to leave a voicemail message. Would love to hear from you about how you evaluate the Bears going out and getting Ben Johnson, what this hire means for your beloved Chicago Bears. We'll play some of those later on in the show on the Meatball Machine. But before we do that, I'm taking time out, come back, and let you know some of the things that I've been told from individuals who have been knowledgeable about some of these other high-level coaching names that have been in the mix that the Bears have been interviewing and how that's gone. I'll share that with you next. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This will be the most coveted job in the National Football League this year. And Ryan and I need to work hand in hand together to make sure we bring that to life, not only from a head coach standpoint, but also from an entire staff standpoint.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was the voice of Bears team president, Kevin Warren, discussing what he believed at the time, the National Football League, how they would view this Bears head coaching opening. And turns out that at least one guy who just happened to be the most sought after, certainly the most sought after first-time head coach. Now, Mike Vrabel ends up getting the Patriots job, kind of going back to his alma mater, basically, where he had so much success during his playing career. And, you know, most folks around the league assume that that's where, once the Patriots decided to move on from Gerard Mayo, that they would make quick work of hiring Mike Vrabel and that he'd have every desire to go back there. And that's precisely how that played out. So Ben Johnson, certainly the most sought after non-Vrabel on the coaching market, and the Bears ended up getting him. So that would indicate that Kevin Warren's words ended up being fairly prophetic on the perception that would be there in the football world of the Bears head coaching opportunity here, this job opening they had. They were going through a very, extremely exhaustive interview process for a variety of head coach candidates. And some of the most prominent names that they interviewed, I've been kind of, you know, working the phones a little bit, just getting a sense for how the interviews are going with some of the more prominent names. Mike McCarthy, from my understanding, was a guy who was viewed as the next best option by the Bears to be a guy that they would make an offer to. They had been, you know, fairly hot and heavy about at least being able to communicate with Mike McCarthy, as was out there publicly, and trying to be one of the first teams to communicate with him before it was even official that the Dallas Cowboys had moved on from Mike McCarthy. And he's got, of course, a very impressive head coaching resume. But what I've said on this station and other platforms is that my perception of Mike McCarthy is that we've seen the ceiling of McCarthy, and that if he were here in Chicago, he would certainly be an upgrade over where they had been with Matt Eberflus. Would that be a Super Bowl caliber ceiling? I don't know, because the division is a very deep division. And you know, I felt like Mike McCarthy would be a good, in some ways safe option. If they didn't end up getting Ben Johnson, Mike McCarthy would be a good choice, but my hope was that the Bears would end up swinging bigger, and that's certainly what they did in getting Ben Johnson. Another really prominent head coaching interview that the Bears did was they spoke with Pete Carroll, and interesting to me, they didn't even end up doing a second interview with Pete Carroll, and from what I understand, Pete Carroll himself fairly surprised about that. Now, his age, certainly a factor in that at 73 years old, but you got a guy that's won a national championship as a college coach, that's won a Super Bowl as a head coach, and has coached teams to multiple Super Bowls in the professional space in the NFL. And reportedly, Pete Carroll still in consideration for other jobs like potentially the Las Vegas Raiders, but, you know, to not only with the Bears not have gotten a second interview, but up to this point, not a second interview with any other team around the sport. My understanding is Pete Carroll fairly surprised about that up to this point. And the way he's been going about it in the interview process is kind of hitting the age thing head on, because he's no dunce. He understands that folks would potentially have concerns about him being into his early to mid 70s at this point. But the thing that everyone who knows Pete Carroll says about him and describes him as is that he is an extremely energetic 73 years old, and he hits that head on in the interview process, even to the point of maybe challenging folks to a race or to some sort of a mental aptitude challenge or anything like that, just being the competitive guy that he is. But Pete Carroll has been surprised that there hasn't been more follow-up interest in him up to this point. So whether that's an indication that perhaps he hasn't interviewed as well from the perception of those teams who are speaking with him as what he himself feels, or maybe he's been remarkably impressive for a coach, but up to this point, maybe his age has been a fairly big stumbling block for teams to try and get over. And he's still in consideration for other head coaching openings here. And now that Ben Johnson has been snatched up by the Bears, then it would seem that other dominoes will end up falling here on the coaching carousel. But, you know, just some things that I've been informed of as far as how the Mike McCarthy process played out with the Bears and how the Pete Carroll process played out with the Bears and with other teams here. I was talking a bit earlier about Dennis Allen and my experience with him in the past. I'll get to that in the final hour of the show here and just kind of recount my personal experience as a player working with Dennis Allen, because he's reportedly the defensive coordinator who right now is viewed as one of the front runners to perhaps be hired by Ben Johnson and brought in with him to the Chicago Bears. So I'll give you a little bit of my personal experience with Dennis Allen from my time with the Atlanta Falcons and him working with him there earlier in his coaching career, and things that I've, you know, been told about Dennis Allen and his coaching tenure in the years that he's continued to be in the league and rise up the NFL ladder in the years since then. But we come right back here. We'll get another guest on the line here, continuing our deep dive into Ben Johnson. We'll do that with the voice of the Detroit Lions from their preseason coverage, who's been, you know, covering Ben Johnson and the Detroit Lions very closely in recent seasons as he's been calling Detroit Lions preseason games. That is a guy who lives right here in the city of Chicago, who you hear calling a number of sporting events around town. That is Jason Ross Jr. He will join me next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.